Well, hello everyone. Thank you for coming here today. For those of you who are watching us, I would like to just say hello, extend my greetings. Thanks for tuning us in. And my name is Father Sean O'Manion. I am the pastor of this church here, Immaculate Conception in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Our mother parish is located a few blocks from here, the Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This is in the more downtown area in Holyoke. Holyoke, Massachusetts is a small city of about 30,000 people or so, and it is known among other things, to be the birthplace of volleyball. And what we do here is that I've also been asked to be the director of the Guard of Honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is a former archconfraternity. Now, as the church calls them, an association of the faithful, a universal association of the faithful. And we have our headquarters, our world headquarters, in Paray-le-Monial, France, at the Monastery of the Visitation, where Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque between 1673 and 1675. We have our diocesan and national headquarters also at a Monastery of the Visitation, right here in our diocese, which is the Diocese of Springfield, which covers the western portion of Massachusetts. And that monastery is in Tyringham, which is a small town that no one has heard of, except for the people who live immediately around it. Tyringham is a hamlet, if you want to call it that, a very small village, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spot in the Berkshires. It is not far from the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy. So it's right next to Lee. And that is where the Monastery of the Visitation is. They have been there for the last 23 years or so. They relocated up from Wilmington, Delaware. But the Guard of Honor, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is the branch through which the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary supports and promotes devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, I should backtrack a little bit and explain a little bit more about that. Sacred Heart devotion, as we practice it today, is based primarily on the revelations of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the Monastery of the Visitation in Paray-le-Monial, France, which is itself a little hamlet as well, in the country of Burgundy, known, of course, for its red wine. The first apparition took place on December 27th, 1673, the feast of St. John, the Beloved Disciple, a very important and pertinent feast for devotion to the Sacred Heart in general. Now, that is not the genesis of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. It's just that the devotion as we understand it today really has its birth there and then. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as you know, struggled and suffered quite a bit because of this devotion that was revealed to her. And Jesus reassured her by telling her, look, hang in there, basically. I'm paraphrasing loosely. Said, hang in there. I'm going to send you my friend, my good friend, my true friend, my trusted friend. And a few months after that, a young Jesuit by the name of Claude Lacolombière, now Saint Claude Lacolombière, arrived at this monastery. And the thing is, also, it was a very providential sign that this young man arrived, because from a human perspective, he should have been sent to something more grandiose than being the chaplain of a cloister. You know, from a human perspective, you know, he showed a very promising future in philosophy and theology, would have made a great professor. And he did, in fact, teach in one of the Jesuit colleges in France, but he is assigned to be the chaplain of the Visitation in Paray-le-Monial. Interestingly enough, Claude Lacolombière had a sister, a biological sister, who was a sister of the Visitation, but she didn't belong to that monastery. She belonged to another one in France. So this spiritual relationship develops between Margaret Mary and Claude. And after, you know, it's very interesting how the whole thing took place. When he first arrived, of course, he's greeted by the Mother Superior. He's given a little tour of the grounds, etc. And she takes him to the chapel where the sisters are all gathered to pray the office. And, you know, he's looking around. He doesn't know any of them. But the Sacred Heart brings this one sister to his attention. It was Margaret Mary. And he asked the superior, "Oh, who's that woman over there? Who's that sister over there?" "Oh, that's Margaret Mary Alacoque." He said, "Oh, I would like to talk to her, please." And so after a while, Margaret Mary was a little diffident after all the rejection that she had experienced because of these revelations of the Sacred Heart. But after a while, she trusted him. She opened up to him in confession and in spiritual direction, and then realized, this is the person that Jesus had promised me. And just to make a long story short, Claude Colombier tells her, "Look, these messages that you're receiving are the real thing. You're not crazy, and these are not heretical messages. This is the real thing. These are genuine, and you are receiving these from Jesus, and you need to heed his message." That his message was, well, there were several messages, but among other things, it was to propagate devotion to his human heart, his heart of flesh, which is the heart of Jesus, as we typically see it represented artistically, is based on the visions of Margaret Mary Alacoque, and it is an anatomically correct heart. It is a human heart of flesh which projects to us the love of God for us. It is not only a heart, but it is a heart that is crowned with thorns, that has a pierced and bleeding side, and has a burst of flame at its head. All these symbols of the intensity of God's love for us, but also of the pain which Jesus incurred and continues to incur as man because of the coldness of humanity. He reveals this to Margaret Mary in what we call the grand apparition, the great apparition. He shows his heart to her and he says, "Look at this heart, behold this heart which has loved men so much and has received in return little but rejection, coldness, indifference." This is something that would hurt anyone. Human love seeks to be requited. Jesus is God, but Jesus is also man. 100% God, 100% man. He possesses two natures. It is one of the mysteries of our faith, one of the things that we cannot quite understand in this fallen world, but as St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, now we see kind of in a blurry way, as in a looking glass, as in a mirror, but then we will see clearly. We will see face to face. So the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ is, as we all know, it's an ongoing project. It did not end with the ascension 2,000 years ago. It is something that continues in the church. Jesus is present to us in many ways, but he is present to us in a very special and sublime, precious way in what we are celebrating today. Today happens to be the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, traditionally called in Latin Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi is, of course, the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. And the Holy Eucharist and the Sacred Heart, as it has been said by many, is one and the same. The heart of Jesus is the human expression of the love of God incarnated for our sake. The love of God, that divine love that it has been translated, so to speak, into our human language, the language of the human heart, so that we can understand it a little bit better, and that we can make a ready return of love to it with our fallen little human hearts. It is an invitation. It is an invitation to the dance. It is an invitation of the lover to his beloved. It is an invitation of the bridegroom to his bride, Jesus, to the church. This is what Jesus invites us to do through Margaret Mary Alacoque. He says to her, look at this heart. Look at this heart which has been so forgotten, rejected over the years. And I ask that at least you, love me. Love me back. That is the lament of the lover. That is, you know, there's a multi-billion-dollar music industry that is based on that. And a big chunk of movies are based on that also. Love. The love of fallen human beings. The love that often is unrequited, and how unrequited love hurts. Or love that it grows old, we take it for granted, and we don't appreciate it. And I think that every Catholic, every Christian suffers from this to a degree. I know that I do. Our love for Jesus is not 100% every day. That is something that calls for a bit of examination, a bit of awareness. And just like a loving relationship between two spouses, between boyfriend and girlfriend, is kept alive by making oneself available to the beloved, Jesus asks us to do the same thing. And so that's what we try to do in devotion to the Sacred Heart in general. There are many ways to practice devotion to the Sacred Heart, and I would say, you know, practice all of them. The Jesuit fathers have the Apostleship of Prayer, which is an awesome organization. They're headquartered here in the United States, in Wisconsin, I believe. Father, I believe his name is James Kubicki, is the president of this association. The Apostleship of Prayer, I would recommend you to look them up on the internet. And what they do is this is an organization that is born of the 19th century Society of Jesus. The Society of Jesus was very much devoted to the Holy Father. And so in the Apostleship of Prayer, a great emphasis is being placed on every morning you consecrate yourself to the heart of Jesus, and you pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, a beautiful devotion. There are several other devotions to the Sacred Heart. So the chief apostolate, the chief devotion that the Jesuits promote for Sacred Heart devotion is the Apostleship of Prayer. Okay, so that would be St. Claude La Colombière and his spiritual children. Now, if we go back to 1675, then we have St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, we have the Sisters of the Visitation of Holy Mary, and their spiritual children, who would be us, and in the guard of honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, sometimes people might think, and they might say, well, why is it called the guard of honor? It sounds kind of militaristic, or it sounds like a police organization or something. It's called the guard of honor because of the way that we carry out our devotion. In the Apostleship of Prayer, as I mentioned, is they practice daily offering to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and praying for the intentions of the Holy Father. The Irish Jesuit fathers have, for example, the Pioneers of Total Abstinence, and the way that one makes reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or makes amends, if you want to use a more secular term, is through pledging abstention from alcohol for a certain period of time and just making that sacrifice in reparation to the Sacred Heart. Now, what we do with the Sisters of the Visitation and the Guard of Honor is for one day, every single day, and it's always the same hour, I'm sorry, for 1 hour, I meant to say, for 1 hour every single day, and it's always the same hour, mine happens to be from 4 to 5, we consecrate that hour to the Sacred Heart without changing, this is the beauty and the simplicity of it, without changing what it is that we're doing. And you know, this is all very prophetic. The Sisters of the Visitation, the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary, as it is properly called in English, was founded in 1610 on June the 6th. Which would have been, as many of you history buffs might recognize, was D-Day. So of course, a very important date for the French. In 1610, on June 10th, June 6th of 1610, St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Frances de Chantal found the Order of the Visitation. St. Francis de Sales was a bishop of Geneva in a time when Catholicism was illegal in Geneva, Switzerland, because the town was run by the followers of John Calvin. Francis de Sales was a man of great courage, but also a man of great sweetness and tact. And he went to Geneva to claim his bishopric, his episcopacy, at great risk to his life and to his well-being. But because he preached with love and he preached the heart of Jesus, it was that he was well-received. And actually, many of the Calvinists returned to the Catholic faith before him. Now, one of the many things that Francis de Sales teaches the Church about, and he is a teacher of the Church, he is one of the officially recognized doctors, meaning teachers of the Church. One of the things that he teaches us about is a spirituality of the heart, a love that seeks to see God in others, very much similar to Jesuit spirituality, to Ignatian spirituality. And Francis de Sales had been educated as a child by Jesuits. It's a love that seeks to find Jesus in one's day-to-day affairs. A prophetic voice. One of the masterpieces of Salesian spirituality is his book that is called the Philotheia, or The Introduction to the Devout Life. This is a book that is written chiefly for lay people, and sort of a revolutionary idea for the 1600s. He is exhorting people to seek and to pursue holiness in their day-to-day matters. It's, you know, holiness is found not only in the Church and not only in ecclesial vocations, like, you know, a call to the priesthood or a call to the consecrated life, a call to be a cloistered nun, for example, extremely lofty vocation that is, but to seek holiness in the workshop. And, you know, if I'm a plumber, if I'm a carpenter, if I'm a lawyer, a physician, whatever. This would be taken up centuries later, both by Saint José María Escrivá in the Opus Dei movement, but then also by Vatican II itself, the last council that we've had between 1962 and 1965. The whole idea that the call to holiness is universal and that we can live this holiness in our day-to-day affairs. So in the Guard of Honor, we practice that, we respond to the call of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but also we respond to the suggestions of St. Francis de Sales, the founder of the Visitation, by seeking to sanctify in a very conscious way at least 1 hour of the day. Mine is from 4 to 5 p.m. We've had great saints and popes that have belonged to the Guard of Honor. The Guard of Honor was formed in 1863 during the papacy of Blessed Pius IX. He joined immediately. All the popes from him all the way up to Pius XII, so that would have been Blessed Pius IX, Leo XIII, St. Pius X, Benedict XV, Pius XI, Pius XII, all belonged to the Guard of Honor. St. John Bosco belonged to the Guard of Honor. Several saints, St. Comboni, the founder of the Comboni missionaries, John Paul II belonged to the Guard of Honor. St. John Paul the Great, his hour of guard was from 12 noon to 1, which, not coincidentally, happens to be the hour. Those hours all have a special intention. The intention that is associated with the hour of 12 to 1 is for the Holy Father and for his intentions, for bishops, for the clergy in general. That was the hour that John Paul observed. My hour is from 4 to 5. From 4 to 5, we consecrate that hour for education, for teachers, for pupils, for students, for educational institutions, universities, colleges, schools, etc., etc. And so, this spirituality is a very, very simple one, but very powerful. And in fact, I shouldn't even say but, because we know that God uses the simple, the lowly, the humble, to shame the powerful. God comes to us always in the humblest of ways. Who did Jesus call when he came here 2,000 years ago? Did he call the Pharisees? And did he call, you know, Augustus Caesar or Pontius Pilate? These people who are very important from our human perspective and very interesting and very learned, etc. No, he calls these guys, these fishermen, who probably didn't even know how to read or write. This tax collector, Levi, Matthew, you know, these people that, and we see the power of God right there, because if the church were a merely human endeavor, no one would have started in that way. We would have started in a more convenient, a more promising way from a human perspective. But that is not the way of Jesus, and that is not the way of God. We see it in the calling of David some 1,000 years earlier. David, you know, he wasn't even of age yet, and he was the one selected from among the sons of Jesse to succeed Saul in the kingship, the one selected by God himself. Today we are celebrating the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the celebration of the Eucharist. And how does Jesus come to us in the Eucharist? Under the guise of lowly bread and lowly wine. We offer, as Melchizedek once did with Abram, we offer that humble bread and wine to God, and he gives us his Son, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is very Eucharistic. This is one emphasis that the Jesuit fathers have always placed upon devotion to the Sacred Heart. And even in recent times, Father Pedro Arrupe. Pedro Arrupe was a Spanish Jesuit. He was the Father General of the Society of Jesus in the 1960s and up until his death I think he died in 1990 or so. But he had stepped down because of health reasons around 1981. But in one visit to the Jesuits in India, Father Arrupe said that the devotion to the Sacred Heart is a devotion to the Holy Eucharist. That essentially, the Holy Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus are one and the same. This may sound a little jarring to us, or a little, maybe perhaps a little shocking theologically, but you know, it's interesting that in recent years, we have seen more of these Eucharistic miracles. You know, we have, for example, Lanciano in Italy. That goes back, I think, to the 12th century, something like that, I'm not sure. But we have Lanciano. We have other Eucharistic miracles. But lately, they've been happening in several places, including Buenos Aires, Argentina, where Pope Francis comes from, himself a Jesuit. And one thing that, because of the advances in medical technology, that when these bleeding hosts are analyzed, it is seen, A, that they're human, B, they share the same blood type, which I think is AB negative, I don't really remember. But also, most interestingly, that they are human flesh, they are cardiac tissue. They are cardiac tissue. The Eucharist has shown in these instances, and granted, this is all private revelation, we're not obligated to believe in it, but it hints very strongly at the union between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. Now, in the Guard of Honor, what we try to do is we try to answer to the call of Jesus Christ. The Guard of Honor was founded in 1863, so the Sacred Heart devotion had already been around for some time. But a sister of the Visitation in France, Sister Marie of the Sacred Heart Bernot, she, in prayer, received an urging from our Lord. As she was praying Psalm 69, Psalm 69 is the lament of the Crucified One, written some 1,000 years before the crucifixion, but we see all these things that happen. In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink, etc. The crucified cries out in that psalm, I sought for consolers and found none. I sought comforters and found none. So Maria the Sacred Heart, just as her predecessor, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, had been called and prompted to give a return of love to the neglected heart of Jesus Christ, Sister Maria the Sacred Heart feels this prompting, this urging from the heart of Jesus to say, I am answering to your call. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you abandoned. And I will go and stand at the foot of the cross. And I am going to do it for 1 hour a day. And we're going to set up an association whereby people are going to sign up to do this for 1 hour a day. And all over the world, in all the different time zones, someone is going to be offering an hour every day so that round the clock, 24/7, 365 days a year, our Lord will be comforted and consoled as he dies on the cross. We know that that was an embarrassing time for the church. Even the night before, when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, watch with me for 1 hour. 1 hour. Nope, they fell asleep. Peter, James, John, you know, the pillars of the apostles, fell asleep. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? It's not looking good for Jesus. He's arrested after being betrayed by one of the 12. He is arrested, and Peter denies him 3 times. And he's led off the following day to his scourging, to his execution. And where is everyone? They're gone. Except for a handful. That small handful, those are the people we call the Guard of Honor. They are keeping guard around the Crucified One. They are the faithful ones. They are the ones who stuck it out. Our Blessed Mother, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint John, the beloved disciple. They're the ones who are there at the foot of the cross. And so what we do for 1 hour a day, without changing the content of that hour, if we're working, reading, watching TV, whatever, as long as it's a wholesome activity, we offer that hour, the same hour every day, to the Crucified One. At that moment, especially when having expired, his side is pierced, and the blood and water flow from his pierced side. And mind you, this was instituted in the century previous to Faustina Kowalska and Divine Mercy devotion, but that is a further developing of Sacred Heart devotion. The side of our Lord is pierced, blood and water flow out, and as St. John Chrysostom had said to us back in the 4th, 5th century, he himself a bishop and doctor of the church, that is the moment when the church is born. You know, of course, we observe the birth of the church at Pentecost, but for John Chrysostom, the church is born when the side of our Lord is pierced, and that blood and water gush forth, and we receive the sacraments. We receive the physical channels, the visible and tangible channels of invisible grace, our spiritual healing, our eternal life. And so we make ourselves present at that very moment. Now, people might reasonably object and say, well, come on, that happened 2,000 years ago, so what difference is it going to make? He sought comforters, he found none. It's a done deal. No, it's not a done deal. And why? Because, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus has two natures. He is 100% human and 100% divine. How can that's 200%? I can't make sense of it. There's a lot of things we can't make sense of in this life. Can't make sense of ourselves. Why should we think that we can make sense of our Creator? As man, the life of Jesus is relegated to the past, to history, just as the life of Augustus Caesar or Pontius Pilate would have been. But as God, his life continues to be present to us in heaven. The traditional term for that eternal present, that eternal ongoing now, which is the abode of God, the creator of time, the creator of space. God, who, as St. John the Beloved Disciple tells us, is love itself. So the crucifixion continues to be always present to us in a very real and immediate way. So if in prayer, using my imagination, my God-given imagination, I picture to myself the crucifixion, however I want to represent it to myself, it doesn't matter. I can place myself at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother, with St. John the Beloved Disciple, with St. Mary Magdalene. And I can keep guard with them, and I can keep watch for that 1 hour that the night before Peter, James, and John were not able to do. I can keep watch, offering my hour. It's simple. I have a smartphone. I program it so that 5 minutes before it buzzes, and oh, great, it's time for my hour. I say a little mental prayer, and I offer that hour to Jesus. I place myself mentally at the foot of the cross, and I try to do everything in that hour for his greater glory. I try to do the best that I can. We should try to do that every single hour and pray without ceasing, right? But at least 1 hour a day, those are good training wheels. That's doable. We can do that. That's easy, and it's simple. And because it's easy and because it's simple, it's powerful. It's efficacious. And it can bring about and has brought about healings and conversions. You've all heard of the Ratisbon brothers, Jewish converts to the Catholicism in 19th century France. They were also in the Guard of Honor, and the Guard of Honor was instrumental in their conversion. The Guard of Honor is a beautiful and simple devotion, so I would encourage you to learn more about it. You can visit our website, which is www.guardofhonor-usa.org. I'll repeat it, www.guardofhonor-usa.org. Or you can simply email me, I'm Father Sean, fr.sean@yahoo.com. And I would be happy to fill you in on how to go about joining this. There are no fees, no dues. We don't have meetings. It's more than anything a spiritual thing. But we do have retreats. We gather here at Immaculate Conception on the first Sunday of the month from 3 to 5. We have a retreat in Spanish. And then on the last Sunday of the month from 3 to 5, we have a little retreat in English. And we learn more about devotion to the heart of Jesus, about making reparation to the love of God translated into our human language in a very sacramental way, just as the Eucharist is the love of God and expressed in a way that is tangible to us and visible to us. We try to do the same thing, and we try to share the love of Jesus Christ during that 1 hour, and we try to make reparation to Jesus by telling him, I am here with you, I am accompanying you, and I am giving you, for what it's worth, my heart, and I am comforting you and accompanying you at the time when everyone abandoned you. And I am here to tell you, Jesus, that I do appreciate what you have done for me, what you do for me, and what you will do for me. That is what it is, in essence, simple as pie. So I hope that you will all look into it. And for those of you who are watching us, thank you very much. And I would like to just give a blessing to everyone. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, particularly under her title of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, and also through the intercession of all the angels and saints, and in particular we call upon St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and St. Claude La Colombière, may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and upon all your loved ones, whether living or deceased, and remain with you forever. Amen.